And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. There were no fatalities within Alaska's commercial fishing fleets this year, for only the second time on record. And as KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, the U.S. Coast Guard says the credit belongs to the fishermen themselves.
For the first time since 2015, Alaska has gone a year without a commercial fishing death. The Coast Guard says in the 12-month period that ended September 30th, no one died falling overboard in an on-deck accident or on a sinking ship. Scott Wilwert is the Coast Guard's Commercial Fishing Vessel Safety Coordinator. He says fatalities have been cut almost in half over the last decade.
You know, from 1990 to 1999, we had 210 what we would classify as operational commercial fishing fatalities in Alaska. And in the 10-year period from 2000 to 2009, that dropped from 210 to 107. And then from 2010 to 2019, down to 62.
Wilwert says there have been just 10 commercial fishing deaths in Alaska since 2020.
So, yeah, we definitely are seeing a downward decreasing trend in the number of commercial operational fatalities in the industry.
But what exactly is causing that downward shift? Wilwert says it's a combination of changing fishery regulations and an industry culture focused on preventing accidents.
I believe that, you know, the fishermen that I come in contact with and all our examiners come in contact with are much more safety conscious. They understand the risks. They take the preparations, and that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Wilwert says that's a sharp contrast to the 70s and 80s, when short openings encouraged captains to fish in an all-out sprint, sometimes sacrificing safety.
The way that fishermen now in certain sectors are able to some extent, choose when they want to go out, maybe skip a weather window or look for a better weather window, as opposed to the old Derby days when, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when, overloading or deck loading with fish or overloading with gear because you only had 4 or 6 or 8 days to catch all the crab or the halibut or whatever.
Wilwert emphasized how important it is for mariners to stay up to date on safety recommendations and equipment and to take part in the dockside exams offered by the Coast Guard before it's too late.
The time to learn how to use any of that stuff is not at the moment of truth.
Tracy Welch is the executive director of United Fishermen of Alaska.
We're a big industry, but in a way we're a really small industry. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody, right? And so those deaths are tragic.
Welch says she also thinks things have changed over the last few decades when it comes to education.
I think with the younger generation of fishermen coming in and moving towards more rationalized fisheries as opposed to the Derby-style fisheries, it's given people a chance to focus on safety and making sure that people make it home at the end of the day.
Welch says she hopes the trend continues. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
And a former Alaska couple has been ordered to pay nearly $1.5 million for taking money from Yakutat Elder. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the couple took hundreds of thousands of dollars and used it to retire early and buy a home in Texas.
A decade ago, former Tanana Superintendent of Schools Carla Sigler and her husband, Vernon James Sigler, approached a friend with a big ask. The couple wanted $250,000 to put towards Carla's retirement. Their friend, 86-year-old Yakutat elder Neva Ogle, agreed to lend the Siglers the money. They were all living in Yakutat at the time and knew each other well. In a handshake deal, Ogle wrote the couple a check. The Siglers started repaying Ogle $1,000 a month. A year or so later, Ogle approached them in an attempt to get the money back. But they asked for more. They told Ogle that the $250,000 wasn't enough and that they needed another $50,000. The Siglers later cashed a check for $450,000 that they said in court was a gift. But Ogle hadn't written it. The state later presented evidence that it was Carla Sigler who wrote the check, even though Ogle signed it. That's according to Beth Goldstein, an attorney with the state's Office of Public Advocacy.
So when it comes down to it, what we learned throughout this lawsuit was that these individuals, the Siglers, they took 63% of all of the assets that Neva had on hand, not counting her house.
Shortly after receiving the second check, the Siglers moved from Yakutat to Bosque County, Texas, where they purchased a 5-bedroom house with a swimming pool, all with Ogle's money. Carla Sigler was elected Bosque County Treasurer in 2016. Goldstein says the couple had made Ogle many promises.
They would pay her back when they sold the auto business. They'd pay her back when they sold. They had a house in Fairbanks. They had a house in Yakutat. Neva received no funds from any of the sales of these things.
When Ogle was 88, about a year later, she went to the local police in Yakutat, who recorded her. She told officers that the checks were loans that she wanted to get back. She wanted her heirs to have something when she was gone. Goldstein says this police recording was vital to the case.
The Yakutat Police Department was instrumental in finding this recording, and even though none of the officers were currently with the department anymore, they did come back and testify for us, and they were fantastic.
The police told Ogle to get something in writing, so she went to the couple, who happened to be in Yakutat at the time, and Carla Sigler drafted an agreement, which Ogle signed. That was April of 2014. The agreement had no minimum payments and forgave the debt upon death.
And it was completely in Carla's favor, completely contrary to what we heard Neva wanted in the tape.
Months later, when the couple moved to Texas, Ogle went to an attorney and filed a lawsuit. She'd been forced to sell her home and move into an assisted living facility after she had spent much of her remaining savings on living expenses. The state of Alaska got involved when, in 2016, a bank notified them that Ogle was giving money to a scammer. State attorneys filed for a conservatorship, if nothing else, to stop the bleeding. Shortly afterward, the state found out about her private lawsuit and offered to step in as the plaintiff. The state filed civil elder fraud charges against the Siglers. A 5-day bench trial was held in March, and Juneau Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley entered a final judgment against the couple on November 13th. They were ordered to pay back Ogle's $700,000 loan with interest and pay $450,000 in punitive damages, plus attorney's fees. All told, the judgment totals $1.47 million. Ogle died in 2020 while the case was still pending. Her heirs are expected to get about $1 million of the judgment. The couple has never admitted to any wrongdoing, according to court documents. Goldstein says the case is not uncommon.
We see cases all the time like this. A lot of times it's family members getting the elder to sign something, a quitclaim deed or a power of attorney, or just, you know, loaning money under the parameters where they're never going to get paid back, ever.
She says it's important for seniors and the people who care for them to learn to recognize the signs of fraud. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The U.S. Senate passed a bill yesterday to protect same-sex marriage with support of both Alaska senators. Murkowski, as she went into the chamber to vote, said the bill provides certainty to gay couples that their marriage will be recognized statewide.
What we'll see today with hopefully passage of this is, again, that respect from one state to another.
Senator Dan Sullivan slipped into the chamber without stopping to talk to reporters. He later issued a statement saying he voted yes to protect religious liberties. The bill passed with 61 votes, one more than needed. Murkowski and Sullivan were among 12 Republicans who voted yes. The Respect for Marriage bill says states can't, on the basis of race or gender, reject a valid marriage license issued in another state. To win over enough Republicans, it also says religious nonprofits can refuse to provide services to celebrate same-sex marriages. That bipartisan vote reflects how far the nation has moved in a few decades on this issue. The bill repeals the Defense of Marriage Act, a law that limited federal recognition of marriage to opposite-sex partners. It passed Congress by an overwhelming margin in 1996. The Supreme Court invalidated that definition in 2015 with a decision called Obergefell v. Hodges. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote that the court could revisit that decision, setting off a scramble among gay rights advocates and others to put marriage protections into federal law. Sullivan, in his statement, said he disagreed with the Obergefell decision, and he said the bill he voted for, quote, is much more about promoting and expanding religious liberty protections than same-sex marriage. His statement is silent on whether he personally supports marriage rights for gay couples. The new bill, the Respect for Marriage Act, goes next to the House, where it's expected to pass easily. And President Biden pressed congressional leaders yesterday to pass a bill to avert a railroad strike, which he said could cripple the economy. The leadership of both parties agreed, but there are holdouts among the rank-and-file members, and Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola is one of them. Peltola says she can't vote for a bill that would end labor negotiations without addressing rail workers' need to have sick leave. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 15 degrees and just a bit cloudy. This is about the coldest it's supposed to get today. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be about 31 degrees at the highest. Tomorrow night, low of 18. There is a slight chance of snow tomorrow. You're listening to KTOO. It's just about 2 minutes till 5.